Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, 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 hello. This is Couch Conversations, and you're listening in to your host, Rev J. This show is sponsored by Blessed and Know It Ministry. So happy that you guys have decided to join us for our late night discussion. We're in our latest fall season talking about guilt and shame and all the emotional baggage that come along with it. Oh, my goodness. So when we were looking, I'm like, okay, how are we going to come back large and in charge for the fall? How are we going to come back with something good and inviting? You know, because that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we empower and equip you to live your life out loud. We dug deep for this one, and so we're excited about where this is going to take us. And so definitely want you guys to remember that we're on all forms of social media, Google+, yes, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Check us out, follow us, so you can stay up to date on the latest happenings. The show will be live every Wednesday night at 11 p.m., so definitely want you to tune in. You can call in 917-889-8266, or you can just click the link on the social media tab. All right, so let's jump in. Let's jump in with guilt. So, again, like when we were trying to plan out the show, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And, you know, we kind of put a couple of fillers out there, like, this hit like wildfire. And why? Because it's some baggage that so many of us carry along with us in this wonderful gift called life. The unfortunate thing is we carry it for too long. There's something about being too strong for too long that messes a lot of us up. And when you're dealing with guilt and shame, these are very heavy emotional bags. And they weigh you down, and they wear you down, and they wear you out. And sometimes it's silently, you know, it's silently creeping along with you, and you don't even realize why you're doing some of the stuff without some deep reflection and self-reflection, and then, you know, just kind of opening up that bag of what does this really look like? What does guilt look like? What does shame look like? Why am I holding on to these things? What am I regretting about what I've done? And, you know, why am I in this place? And so over the next 6 weeks, we're really going to look at, you know, one at a time, and we're really going to dissect some things. We've got some pretty awesome guests lined up who will help us, you know, try to figure out why are we still holding on to this? Why are we still dwelling on this? Because oftentimes, guilt and shame that most of us carry is not even from other people who are involved in the situations or the choices or the negative decisions we made. It's something that we keep replaying. It's something that we keep holding on to. It's not often enough, like if we're comparing apples to apples. Are you carrying it or someone else throwing it at you? Usually we're carrying it. And sometimes it's preconceived. Sometimes it's not real. Sometimes we've just been holding on to it for so long, it's become part of our story. It's not even true. It's just a story we told ourselves to cope with the situation we were in. Oh, yeah. So once you guys start tuning in, and you'll start to hear like, oh, wow, I don't have to carry this. You don't. Oh, wow, I can be free from this. You can. Oh, my gosh, you mean this is why I've been acting this way? I've been acting out of guilt. I've been acting out of shame. And it's something I could have released. You can. And we're definitely going to, you know, we're not going to leave you out there like, oh, okay, so forgive myself and that's it. No. No. If it was that easy, everybody would do it. And if it was something that, you know, was a real quick fix, we wouldn't be talking about it. But once we, you know, go over some of these practical tools and define what these things really are, like for you, you know, the book definition and then how it's applied in a lot of our lives, and, you know, you'll hear some of these stories of my guests who are coming up over the next 6 weeks, and like, oh, okay, I can relate to that. Oh, no, she's, I would have never done that. But, again, it's not our place to judge. It's just our place to listen and be like, oh, well, let me see how I can, you know, take this information and apply it in my life or take this information and pass it on to someone else. Because that's the great thing about information. It's kind of like energy. It can't be created or destroyed. It can't be created. We know about fake news. But it can also be transformed. preferred to transform. So if you hear something about guilt and shame, you're like, okay, this does not really apply to me. But my sister, friends, cousin, nieces, nephews, aunt, she can really use that. Feel free to tag her in a post, to share it on a page and be like, hey, thought you might want to listen to this, you know, inbox, DM, whatever the case may be. All right, so we're talking about guilt and shame. Sometimes people think, oh, it's the same thing, or it goes hand in hand. But if we're defining them from a noun standpoint, just having committed a specified or implied offense or crime. Okay. Verb, to make feel guilty, especially in order to induce someone to do something. I think a lot of females have used guilt, have used, you know, the tactics, oh, I'm going to make him feel guilty for this so I can get this, or I'm going to, you know. It's also a form of manipulation, but we'll definitely get into that later. If we're defining shame as a noun, it's a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the conscious of wrong or foolish behavior. Which means you have to be conscious of your actions. Conscious of the actions of foolish behavior. That's a good definition. Okay, so let's look at this. So we're walking around in our adult life. We've done some stuff at a previous age in life. And now we're walking around like, oh, I just feel drained. Oh, I just feel tired. I don't know why. I don't know how. No, I'm taking vitamins. I'm taking supplements. I'm getting up early. I'm drinking caffeine. I'm crashing. What's really going on? Figure out, oh my gosh, it's stress. Stress, of course, is a silent killer. We've talked about this before. Oh, it's stress. It's this, it's that. No. It may not just be like, oh, stress. It may be some guilt and shame. And the difference between the two, because they are two different things. We've already established the definition. But guilt focuses on the behavior. It's when you're like, okay, I did something bad. I did something wrong. Shame is when you're like, I am bad. I am wrong. I am the mistake. You know, and so guilt, like, oh, I'm going to plead guilty. I did this, such and such. Okay, cool. But shame is the one that is deeper than guilt, because that one is actually linked to some psychological stuff like depression and eating disorders and some addiction, because you're trying to mask it. You're not only trying to mask the guilt, it was what it was, but when you're trying to mask the shame because you put yourself in that situation, it can lead to some pretty harsh, you know, side effects, consequences, or even further negative choices. And so a lot of us, you know, we don't want to be perceived as weak, or, I don't know, you just don't want to be perceived a certain way, and so you just carry around the shame like, no, I'm good, everything's okay, I'm all right, yeah, I know such and such happened, I know so-and-so had their part, but we often sometimes try to gloss over the part that we had to play in any situation. Like, I made a post maybe a month or so ago, and it was real simple. I saw it off someone else's page. I was like, ooh, I like that. And the post was, when you tell them I cut you off, don't forget to tell them you handed me the knife. Oh, y'all like that? I like that, right? So y'all don't have to quote me on that, because I got it from someone else. But that's how this thing works. People will try to use guilt and be like, oh my gosh, she cut me off. She should feel guilty for such and such and such, because they're trying to project an image of you to the shame that they have for their role to play in the situation. That's how you can roll up on a car accident or different instances in your life, and two, three people there have two or three different stories of what happened. It's the perception of it. And there are some people who just will not own up to their role in it. And so they don't publicly admit, I'm ashamed of, you know, this situation. Now, you know what, my role in that was wrong. I did that. There's my guilt. I did that. But the shame associated with doing something like that, they just try to remove themselves from it. And it's not okay, because at some point in life, you've got to be accountable for your choices. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Again, you know, what I say, after 25, that's your age of reasoning. You are fully accountable for the choices you make with the knowledge that you've acquired those first 25 years. Even little ones, I have a one-year-old, when she does wrong, she's aware of it. Call her name, you're like, hey, what happened? She'll make the sad face and she'll start crying. out of what? Oh, I did something bad, so now she's feeling guilty. Does she have shame? No. Because she's one. She doesn't get that, oh, I'm bad, da, 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 and focus on that and replay that over and over again in her mind. But she does know, oh, my gosh, I've done something. They've changed their voice tone. They're not treating me the same. Let me cry, get some sympathy. Maybe they'll forget that I did the wrong thing. And then, oh, my gosh, maybe this is a chick. Mom's talking still about what I did. Oh, my gosh. And she'll feel some sort of way. You can see it on her little face. Now, my teenagers, on the other hand, talking about guilt and shame, the guilt being focused on behavior. Oh, I did something bad. It's easier for them to brush off the guilt. Sometimes I think they do hold on to the shame, and, you know, kind of beat themselves up, but then let it go because at home it's a safe environment. No matter what goes on or what chore was neglected or what was said in a moment, they know, and we have equipped them and empowered them through the 14, 17 years of their life that you are not bad. You are different from your behavior. Although your behavior may not have been appropriate, you are not bad. You are not the mistake. And I think that's where as adults, you know, those of us who are over 25, you have to come to that reckoning that I am not my behavior. And that's why, you know, when people go through AA and stuff, they tell them, like, at some point, you're going to have to apologize. You're going to have to face what you did because you cannot fix what you will not face. Now, some of us have made some really jacked up choices that affected other people, that put them in the ripple effects of our actions. And they got caught up in some serious stuff because of the things we chose to do. Now it's up to us, once we come to that knowledge and accept the role we had to play in it, it's up to us to go back and say, hey, I see the situation differently. I accept that I had some behavior that affected you. I'm not the behavior. I am not bad. But I accept the role that I had to play and the consequences that you felt from my behavior or choice. And I think that's awesome when people can say, you know, something similar, something along those lines. But then you get caught up in the, oh, I'm prideful. I didn't do nothing. I don't know. They owe me an apology. And so then we have people say, hey, be the bigger person. Say, I'm sorry. I'm apologizing. You can say what you want, but it's those actions that mean everything. And so if you walk around with the guilt and the shame, one thing you have to do is confess it to yourself. So you're examining this whole bag like, ugh. You're right, I do feel a certain way about my behavior, about my choice, not about myself for making that choice. Because, you know, we're not perfect. It happens. It happens on a regular basis in society. Life happens. We make up. We mess up. You know, we messed up off of misinformation. We messed up. Maybe it felt good at the time. We messed up because we felt for something we shouldn't have fallen for. We did something we shouldn't have done. We said some things we shouldn't have said. We left some people that we shouldn't have left, and it was the way we did it. You've got to come to a point. So when we hit this guilt and shame thing hard over the next 6 weeks, it's going to be a point where we're like, hey, if you're the person who needs to apologize, go ahead and make those amends. Go ahead and say what you need to say and then adjust your behavior accordingly. Some people may not want to hear it. They may not want to accept it. But it's not for them, because if you've been carrying around emotional baggage, you're the one who needs to lay down the emotional baggage. You're the one who needs that emotional release. I used to have a Labrador, a golden Labrador retriever, when I was growing up. His name was Rambo. Invincible. He's a big dog, big paws and everything. No matter what type of, because I grew up in the country, no matter what type of chain he had him on, he'd break free. He'd break free. Like, oh, my gosh, what can we get from Rambo? What can we do? So finally, we got one of those little corkscrew things that goes into the ground, got a big, heavy chain on him. And for like 6 months, we thought we'd found a solution. Well, one day, what Rambo did pretty much quite regularly when people came around is that he'd take off running, take off high-speed running, get to that end of the rope, and choke himself. So I know it may sound bad, but just go with the visual. So, oh, here's a car in the driveway. Car pulls up, door opens, door closes, slam. Here goes Rambo. Chokes himself. Again. Oof, out, fail. Pretty much every time a car pulls into the driveway, stranger, friend, foe, he's not barking. He is taking off running. He is full speed ahead. Like he does not know that the chain has an end to the rope. So he takes off running. Gets to the end of the rope, the chain. Chokes himself and snaps himself back. That's what this emotional baggage is. That's what this guilt and shame is. You're seeing things in your life. You're trying to go after things. You're trying to move forward in your life. You're running your full speed ahead. You're trying this. You're trying that. You're like, okay, this time has got to work. This time has got to work. I've done this. I've done that. I've crossed my T's. I've dotted my I's. So you're full speed ahead. And all of a sudden, oh. And then you get choked or you get held back or you can't get any further and you're no closer to where you want to be. You can see it. You can almost taste it, but you're not getting there. You're like, what in the world is going on? What the heck, man? I don't understand. You might want to check into that guilt bag and that shame bag. It's just two different bags because, remember, one, guilt is the behavior. Oh, I did something bad. And shame is, oh, I am bad. I am the mistake. So one is the focus on the behavior. The other one is the focus on the self. And it really does not help that we live in a society that wants us to really be big-headed and overly self-confident to the point of conceit, and then they were wrong when we act that way that you told me that I should act because you treated me a certain type of way. But that's a whole other issue. As we bring that back in, sometimes when we're trying stuff and it's not working and we're repeatedly trying and going after that, it's like we're that dog on the leash. We're having that Rambo situation. Like, I see it. I want it. I just want to say hi. I want to place it. I want to go after it. Here I go. Full speed ahead. And what happens? We get to the end of that chain. And we get choked. Guilt and shame are not good mates. They're not good friends. They're not good for you to keep in your life. Okay. So you had a humiliating situation. Okay. You had a mortifying situation. Okay, you had an embarrassing situation. You became indignant. You were discomforted at some point in life. It happens to everyone. What are you willing to do now? That so, one, it doesn't happen again, and two, so you're not left carrying the remnants of that situation. Or replaying that situation over and over again to the point that it affects your sleep, it affects your well-being, it affects your waistline because, you know, stress, cortisol, around your waist, spare tire. My good, you're not a car. You don't need a spare tire. Mm-mm. What are you willing to do differently? Or how are you really willing to let that go? Are you willing to stop telling that same old story? This happened, that happened, woe is me, wah, wah, wah. We get it, Charlie Brown, we get it. But here's the good news, you're not there anymore. It happened, it's the past, it's over. You do not have to be held to that, you don't have to be confined to that, you don't have to be what they said you were, you don't even have to be what you're saying you are. You have so much inside of you. And that's why you keep running after and chasing after and going after something different, knowing that you're not meant to be held by this chain or held back by this baggage. You were created by a creative creator who created all of creation and had you in mind. And he did not create anything with a chain on it to be bound and to be in bondage and to be held and to be captive, especially not the negative choices of your past. You made the choice. It was what it was. It is what it is. Suck. Maybe you would change it. Maybe you wouldn't. It happened. Now what? Now what? Now what are you going to do? You're going to carry this emotional baggage with you. You're going to look like the bag lady on the corner. You're going to look like you're just going to push this shopping cart around looking dingy and dirty. No. For what? What benefit? How does that serve anyone? Like, oh, my gosh, I just should really feel shameful about the choice I made back in 1926. About what? Okay. It happened. What are you willing to do now to be free? Because right now, honey, you're not free. Still in bondage. If you can still replay that situation, and if you can replay the situation and still get emotional, if you can watch a Lifetime movie about a similar situation and feel all of those emotions all over again, you're not free. If you can get caught up in someone else's situation, you're not free. Or on the whole total end of the spectrum, if someone is going through a situation that requires empathy, but you have hardened yourself up where you can't even be empathetic, because if you let that guard down a little bit, they might know that you once did the very thing that they're being condemned of. But no, you want to put on this hard exterior like it never happened. I never did it. I'm going to walk around with the silent shame of my choices, and no one will ever know. I'm just going to let this eat away at me, and no one will ever know. That's still not healthy. That's still not good. That's still something that you as an adult now can make a choice to let go of. You can be bound or you can be free. At the end of the day, pretty much every episode of this series of Couch Conversations is going to say the same thing. This is your choice. What does freedom look like to you? Is that something you want more than living in bondage? What does freedom look like to you? What does it look like not to be burned down with the shame of a choice you made 20 years ago? What does telling a different story actually do for you? I'm glad you asked. Apparently, when we talk to ourselves, we actually listen. Apparently, the words that we speak have a vibrational energy that resonates with inside of us. Apparently, that same energy can create or destroy. And so when we're thinking negatively about ourselves, that energy is doing what? Being destructive on the inside of us. We're looking at all these images right now in the United States, just what's going on in the ocean, what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico, what's going on in the Atlantic Ocean. There's swirling, there's whirlwinds, look, there's the eye of the storm, there's the waves that are being affected. It's about to hit land. We're preparing for this. But when is it that we prepare for the emotional storms that happen within us before our body responds to the stress that's growing within us, before that emotional breakdown, before that addiction, before that depression, because you're just replaying it over and over again, and I'm sad, and I'm angry, and I'm hurt, and I'm in despair, and I haven't even acknowledged why, because you're carrying around something that you're not meant to carry. So if we go back to the creative creator who created creation, he also created a son who said, cast all your cares upon me. That's biblical. He said that. He did say that. So that means it's true. That really means it's true. Is it in the red part of your Bible? It is in the red. Oh, okay. He also said, take my ways, because my ways are easy. My burden is light. What you're carrying now is so heavy that it's affecting you in ways you can't even see. What you could have is something called freedom. And I think I keep saying it because I want us to really wrap our mind around this. Bondage, freedom. Bondage, freedom. Wrapped up, loosed. Wrapped up, loosed. And I'm reminded of the story of Lazarus, where they're at the tomb and Jesus is called forth and he's like, Lazarus, come forth. So Jesus spoke that into existence. But once Lazarus did come forth, it was up to the other people to unwrap him because they were the ones who wrapped him. So how does that apply to guilt and shame? Sometimes there are other people who will wrap us up because we may be guilty because of our behavior, and they will put us in bondage, and they don't want to release us. They don't want to free us. And that's fine and good, because at this point in your life, you don't need anyone else to do that for you. You can do this for yourself. Will it be easy? No. Will it be a process? Yes. Is it possible? Yes. Is it something you can do? Yes. Is it worth doing? Yes. I'm so glad you guys have so many questions, because I have so many answers. How can you say that? Because I've done it. I've walked around in guilt. I've walked around in shame. I think that, you know, society says you should feel a certain way about certain things, and I have myself, you know, kind of a warped sense of humor about certain things. Like, I laugh a lot of stuff off, but, you know, when I'm talking to myself about myself, I check myself. We're not going to carry that around. We're not going to hold anyone else in bondage either. It's really a catch-22, because if you can say that that person over there can be free and you're still going to hold yourself in bondage, what are you doing? Because that person is no greater than you and you're no greater than them, so if they can have freedom, why can't you have freedom? Okay, so you feel a certain way. Ooh, I'm bad for feeling that way. No. The feeling may be bad, but you're not bad for feeling that way. You're not bad for doing the certain thing. The behavior is bad. The individual, the person, you, yourself, and you, not bad. The behavior, wrong. You, yourself, and you, not wrong. The behavior, awful, terrible, ridiculous. You know, we did that. You, yourself, you're an individual. And the same way you made that choice then, you can make this choice now. And it's all freeing to be part of a master plan. It's all freeing to tap into something bigger than yourself. Give yourself away and volunteer yourself to other people and to be of service to others, because it really helps you put your life into perspective. But not be of service so much that you're giving all of yourself away, but be of service in such a way that you're being impactful, that you're being proactive, that you're treating them with the same compassion that you treat yourself. Because we're teaching others how to treat us. And so by our actions of treating others, people are watching. There's always an audience. Even when you think there's not, there's very little privacy these days. And then that is how they're learning how to treat you. So if you're willing to have compassion for the next person, when it's time for someone to have compassion on you, it is available. And you need to be available to receive that. You cannot keep holding yourself hostage with the guilt of your bad choices, with the shame of your indiscretions. It happened. Let's unwrap it. Let's look at the process of making the situation as right as it can be. Let's look at the process of how we're talking to ourselves, how we're dealing with it internally, how we're dealing with others externally, and then releasing it. That may mean dropping it off somewhere. That may mean just walking away from it totally. That may mean a couple of different things. It definitely does not mean jumping into or from addiction to addiction. It does not mean, you know, self-medicating yourself because you're a hood too. Like, oh my gosh, this hurts. This is painful. That's life. They're not called growing pains for no reason. Just because you're over 25 doesn't mean you stop growing. No, every day is a learning experience. You need to expand your mind and your horizon. And that same forgiveness you have for others, you need to have for yourself. I'm so glad you guys have tuned in, and I just want to, you know, kind of reiterate, this is going to be deep. And that's part of the reason we chose out this nighttime cast. Because this put the kids away, because we're going to talk about some little adult issues with guilt, with shame, with regret, with emotional baggage. And then making it as right as possible with ourselves. Okay? All right. Well, thank you guys so much for being in the Couch Conversation. I think you're awesome. And don't forget, your life is worth living and living out loud. I'm your host, Rev J, and I'll talk to you same time next week. Bye-bye.